Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road. Nick Kieser here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. SEC Media Days is underway for day two down there in Atlanta, Georgia. We're going to try to have Clark Lee live later this hour at 9:30 as he speaks and addresses the media down there at the podium. Speaking of Clark Lee, it is obviously Vanderbilt and their day down at SEC Media Days. Caroline Fenton and Michelle Knezovic already having some interviews down there, which we'll have for you later on the program today coming up at 2 o'clock. What's the message if you're Clark Lee heading into year two behind the helm at Vanderbilt? Obviously, it was a slow process last year. They had very limited talent. They had a large talent deficiency in most of their games. I think you can say as they got as the season went on, they were a little bit better. They started to figure some things out. We discussed the quarterback situation yesterday with Mike Wright and with Ken Seals. I'm interested to see how that plays out and whether or not Mike Wright is the full-time starter this year. But as you evaluate this team heading into the year and where this program is, what's the message to Vanderbilt fans if you're Clark Lee? With everything else swirling about in college football right now and Tennessee down the road having big-time recruiting success and NIL floating around, all these different things. What's your message if you're Clark Lee and this Vanderbilt football program?
Well, if you're Clark Lee and you're sending a message to fans, I mean, first of all, the priority has to be come back.
Yeah.
Come watch us, we're getting better. Like I said, look, what he took over, you can't really go anywhere but up. And that's pretty much true of his debut season. There were some glimpses. Had that game won at South Carolina and squandered that. Got better. I don't think there's any doubt about that. And again, you can't really go anywhere but up from the debut of Clark Lee, of course, against East Tennessee State, right? They got better. I will say this is a great opportunity, Robbie, because, I've been gone for a while and, in that time I missed giving takes, but also of, shamelessly self-promoting. So I will tell you that tomorrow at theathletic.com, I did a film session with Clark Lee this summer. And so that will be part of my answer now, which is in this film session, I will say it was stunning. It was this spring versus last spring. And it was like, what am I watching? Comparatively, it's a big job. It was a big job. This very much illustrated the job he has. But also, in a year, they've made some strides. Is it enough to win much this year? I'd be real surprised. So the message is, come back. We're getting better. We're becoming a more reputable and competitive team. And also, I would say, come see some of the young guys. Because that's I think what a lot of the interest will be this year for Vanderbilt fans. Arguably, that's the best recruiting class Vanderbilt's landed. It's certainly in the top three or so. You could look at a couple James Franklin classes, but this is a big time recruiting class by the rankings. And I think there's some guys who are going to be on the field pretty quickly for this team. So that's another part of it too. And on that front, as I say this now, I mean, Vanderbilt is doing, pretty well right now on the recruiting front. I mean, they were in the 30s, and now I don't see them. So maybe, these things are fluid. I think they did have a decommit recently. But they're, still ahead of some of the SEC teams. It's still a long way to go, obviously, with this class. But, yeah, they're 51 right now. That's right in there, right? Wisconsin's right there with them. They're ahead of Mississippi State and Texas A&M right now, which is kind of funny, actually.
That is kind of funny.
Ole Miss, Mizzou. They're ahead of a lot of
SEC. The collective just run out down there at A&M?
They're like, oh, shoot, we got to pay for next year's recruits. Wait a minute. We spent the $300 million already on last year's class.
This is one of the finest academic institutions in America, ain't it? Thank you, Jimbo.
Ain't it? Did he really say that? Did he say ain't?
I think that may be a Robbie Stanley idea,
I don't know. That would be amazing if he actually said ain't in that sentence. But right now Vanderbilt is blowing Texas A&M 61, Texas A&M. Vanderbilt 51.
Yeah. Ole Miss, 62.
Eat that dust, Jimbo. Somebody better ask Jimbo about that this week.
Missouri, 63. I mean, Auburn's at 73. Things going really well down there on the plains. Boy, for Brian Harsin.
That's the thing. Some of these are just like, you know, like, I mean, it's still early enough. Although that is a little weird that Texas A&M has five commits.
I'm not kidding you. Maybe their collective ran out. They got to restock that thing back up.
Man. They're just like, boy. Huh. Why am I not hearing about panic about this? I'm hearing all this panic about the Gators fans.
I don't know.
Did you, by the way, real quick, did you see the message board geniuses?
Oh, Florida? Yeah.
If they're we don't get whatever some recruit.
It's time to move on.
Is it time? Like, it's legitimately. And not just him, Strickland, they're all out on one recruit not picking them.
He hadn't played a game yet. It's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, there are still some things to love about college sports.
Oh, yeah.
Message boards.
Message boards would be among them. If you're a Vanderbilt fan, and I know a lot of Vanderbilt fans, in particular, I know Vanderbilt fans that have been long-suffering Vanderbilt fans at the football level. So they've been around for a long time.
Yes.
They've been waiting on investment, which I think you're starting to see in the program, and that's probably the number one thing they've been waiting on, is for people to act like they care at that place over there, and I think they've accomplished that at this point. So the next step is, how do you build on that and get yourself in a place in today's ever-changing landscape of college football where you can be competitive in the SEC? And the SEC, by the way, by the passing month, continues to get tougher with some of the things that are going on in college football. Like, I do wonder, if you're a Vanderbilt fan this year, what's it going to take to get you back out there? I mean, you know they're not going to win 8 games or anything like that this year. You know, the non-conference schedule – you look at it, I mean, you've got on the road at Hawaii, which is always an interesting game to kick things off with. Elon, not Musk, coming in the week after that.
Not buying Twitter.
Yeah, Wake Forest and Northern Illinois. Like, you know, it's a non-conference schedule that you could find a few wins there if you're Vanderbilt. And then, you know, you've got at Alabama, Ole Miss, at Georgia. That's a heck of a stretch for them. Missouri, South Carolina. Like, could you find a way to win one of those two games with Missouri and South Carolina, Kentucky, Florida, Tennessee? I mean, once it gets into conference play, it's going to be a little bit more difficult for Vanderbilt. But if you're a Vanderbilt fan, what's it going to take to get you back over there and invested in this program this year? I think it's important as they move forward.
Yeah. Well, and they are, look, I think you hit on the absolute number one thing and valid complaint really for decades, is that Vanderbilt just didn't want to participate in what was going on around them in the SEC, we well documented, but a lot of that is the university side, the athletic side, not seeing eye to eye. I mean, you go back to, you know, the late David Williams. He was trying hard. He was pushing hard for investment in different areas, and Nick Zeppos, among other people, did not want to do it. And so now they have that top down. They have that alignment. You know, with Daniel Diermeier and Candace Lee all the way down, and that's a big deal. So I don't know when it pays off on the field. I think it probably pays off in other sports quicker. I think in basketball you have a chance here in the next few years for things to get pretty good. Football is just such a big job. But I think to bring people out, it's also, I mean, are there players you want to watch play? It wasn't that long ago. Vanderbilt wasn't great, but they were flirting with bowl games, sometimes making bowl games. They had guys like Keyshawn Vaughn out there.
Yep.
I mean, even Kyle Shermer, a good quarterback, some good receivers. Is Mike Wright somebody who can bring people out this year? I think Mike Wright today, I will predict that you will see tweets today from SEC media members going gaga about Mike Wright. He's probably going to be great in the SEC media day setting. And he's a leader. He's got a big personality, and if he's ready to become a good player, they're a lot more fun to watch. Ben Bresnahan, who Caroline and Michelle were interviewing, he got his knee injured on the first or second offensive play of last season and really was never the same. He's a talent. Will Shepard is talented. They've got some players. They've got some players on defense too, Davion Davis and Elijah McAllister and Anthony Orji. They've got some veterans who are pretty good football players. Can that make you more competitive? I will tell you, like I said, film session, I'm going to write about it tomorrow. Athletic.com.
Looking forward to it.
It was very eye-opening, without question. The comparison a year ago, you inherit a bad program that just fired his coach, you're going to be in a tough spot. But if you inherit that and you already know that the talent level you have is so much less than what you're going to play every week, again, big, big, big job.
615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll take your thoughts on Vanderbilt football. What are your expectations for this team, and what should Clark Lee's message be for Vanderbilt fans this year, heading into year two behind the helm at the head football coach position? We'll talk about that coming up next. Join 1025, 1063 The Game and Newton Motor Group this summer to help kids in Middle Tennessee as we team up with Souls for Souls to provide shoes to children experiencing homelessness in Nashville and the surrounding area. With school coming back, our goal is to raise $20,000, which will provide 1,000 pairs of shoes for kids, but we can't do it without your help, so please consider helping however you can by going to thegamenashville.com/shoes. All donations will go directly to Souls for Souls to give shoes to children in Middle Tennessee experiencing homelessness. Let's do some good this summer, and thank you for your help. Once again, that's thegamenashville.com/shoes. Newton Motor Group is proud sponsor of Souls for Music City. Newton Motor Group, the best car deals in Nashville. Start at Newton. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, here on 1025, 1063, The Game. Make sure you check out Nashville's best deal of the week. This week, it's Bavarian Beer House at Opry Mills. Bavarian Beer House, Nashville's only authentic German beer hall, is a place full of fun, food, music, and most importantly, beer. Head to thegamenashville.com/deals now to get a $50 gift card for only $25 to Bavarian Beer House while supplies last.
I don't know which word I used, okay? But I meant to say that Vanderbilt is blowing past, blowing by, blowing out Texas A&M on the recruiting trail.
Yeah.
I don't know which small article word I used, but I used some kind of word.
We're just pointing that out.
Yeah. I'm getting text.
Doing well on
the
recruiting trail.
I'm getting trolled on my own text line.
Tully from Murfreesboro on the text line says, the nice thing about Clark Lee is, unlike his predecessor, it doesn't appear he's going to beat himself. This is coming from Tully from Murfreesboro on the text line.
Yeah, did I see a tweet? I may have seen a tweet about Big Joe when he was on the show.
Yeah.
Did he say Derek Mason was a disaster? Is that right?
He did.
Yeah. So I don't know if I did. I don't know that
at
I
the
agree.
End it definitely
I think
was.
At the end it was, yeah. Sure. I mean, most, I guess, failed coaching tenures are disasters at the
end. Yeah, like Butch Jones at the end was a glorified disaster.
But I don't. But if at the end I agree. But as far as overall, I don't think he was a disaster. I think that he didn't obviously capitalize on what James Franklin did. I think James Franklin, who's a good coach, also had incredible timing at Vanderbilt. Incredible timing.
He did.
He's a good coach. Don't get me wrong. And he's a salesman, and he's very good at that, and he got stuff done, and you have to be that, and that's different from Derek Mason's personality. Well, it's different from Clark Lee's personality too. The good timing for Clark Lee is he's coming in when he actually has a chancellor who wants to invest in sports.
Correct.
And so Derek Mason's in between those two things, and you just have to – you just have to be more, I guess, like James Franklin, or you have to have some things break your way, I think, to have any chance at that job. And ultimately – over time, I think he lost some good staff members, and they just weren't recruiting like you have to. And you have to – I mean, if you look at this recruiting situation for Vanderbilt with Barton Simmons as the GM, it's a much more – they've invested there too. It's a much more modern college football recruiting staff that gives you a chance, and Derek Mason didn't have that. And that's something to keep in mind too.
Will from Nashville on the text line says, Joe, you do a good job of covering Vanderbilt. Thank you. Who will be the starting quarterback, running back, and who can make an impact as a freshman? Also, my prediction is 4 wins, 2 out of conference and 2 SEC wins, or maybe 3-1 out of conference and 1 SEC win. It's coming from Will.
That sounds about right. If they get a couple SEC wins, that's pretty good.
Pretty good.
There's a couple in there that I think they could get potentially, but that would be to get to. would be pretty good. Again, I think Mike Wright is going to be the. I think he's going to be the starting quarterback. I think he's going to take the first snap. Just like I'm saying, Joe Milton starts the 2023 season. Could be in a platoon situation with the freshman. Maybe he.
It could be, you know, like they're deep in their own territory and want to throw their way out of it.
It could be third and 99 from the one. Third and goal from their own one. And he throws a third and goal touchdown pass. I think Mike Wright is the starting quarterback.
It's first and 60. A lot of false starts going on out there.
All right, yeah.
It's Joe Milton.
Joe, anyway. Just take a 20-yard sack, and then we have third down. All right.
Oh, God. Yeah, anyway, continue.
Yeah, that's fine. Mike Wright, I do think we'll start. And I think we'll see Ken Seals this year. I don't think – we talked about this yesterday – The platoon system, I think they need to give a real chance to Mike Wright. And I think the fact that he's there today in Atlanta means something. I don't see how you could just dismiss that as a thing. I think Raymond Davis is going to be the starting running back, and I think Vanderbilt very much missed him because, of course, he got hurt. I don't remember if he got hurt. I guess it was early in the season. It wasn't in camp, right? It was early in the season, I believe. Yep. But, I mean, I think he's really good. I think Rocco Griffin also, can play. And so I think that they could be pretty decent there. I'm worried about the offensive line with them for sure. What was the other question? Freshman.
Yeah.
Well, the obviously big freshman coming in, Darren Agu, the edge, former Notre Dame commitment, the guy that Tennessee tried to flip late. Other programs went after him too. I mean, he's someone to watch. I would also look at Jaden McGowan and Davion Walker, freshman receivers. Definitely, I think, have a shot to make a difference on offense. I know some people are excited about A.J. Swan, the freshman quarterback. I'll tell you right now, A.J. Swan, impressive in the spring. He's got big-time arm talent. I think there's some hope for him in the future. A.J. Swan's not going to leapfrog either of those two guys ahead of him. If he does... That means they've really, both of them, really struggled. He's a true freshman, and this goes back to Joe Milton. True freshman quarterbacks taking a huge step up in level. It can happen. It can work for you. But even if these great programs would get the absolute best of the best, they prefer them to redshirt.
It's second and 35. Oh, my goodness. It's Joe Milton. Here he comes.
Oh.
Liam on Poor the text Joe. Line says, when I showed up on campus, Woody Woodhoffer told me to have fun and expect to win. I did have fun, but expecting to win was never part of any equation they taught me while I was there. Through all the lows, the middling middles, and the lower lows, I've never expected anything great from football. I'm still there. This is coming from Liam on the text line. Liam has been there through thick and thin with Vanderbilt football.
Okay, so wait a minute. So, Liam, did you play for Woody Woodhoffer?
I don't know.
Or like you were just like a student. He was like, have fun out there and expect that we'll win.
That's a good question.
You need to tell us more about that.
Yeah, we need to know.
William says Rocco Griffin is a stud. Rocco Griffin's good. Don't get me wrong. I think Rocco Griffin is going to do some good things. The offensive line, though, yeah, that's where some young guys, by the way, could help. And that's it's just not ideal, right? I think they've recruited well. They like their offensive line class a lot, but – if you got to play, like, is David Siegel going to play this year? Maybe. I don't know. But you don't want offensive linemen. You don't want a ton of true freshmen playing up front for you.
So if you're a Vanderbilt fan this year, what do you need to see from this team on the field? Because we can talk about recruiting, and I agree. Like, I think they're doing a good job at recruiting at Vanderbilt. And by no means, regardless of what happens on the field this year, do I think Clark Lee's job will be in jeopardy? So let me just go ahead and throw that out there. But if you're a Vanderbilt fan, what do you need to see on the field this year, apart from all the other stuff, that makes you feel good about the direction that this team is heading,
well,
this program?
One thing you'd love to see Mike Wright or Ken Seals, one of them be really good and be like, wow, senior quarterback next year, that's right. Exciting. So start there. It's the equalizer. It's the most important position. You'd love to see one of them really take a step. And that's kind of why I think Mike Wright's a starter. I think Mike Wright has a higher ceiling. You can do more things with Mike Wright. I think Ken Seals is a, I mean, look, he came right in as a freshman and he was solid. I just don't know how much more, you know, he can take it. So, but
he did not take the step last year that I thought he would.
And he was hurt.
Yeah,
and
he was.
And that's worth keeping in mind. He was hurt during the spring, too. So you can't dismiss Ken Seals. But to answer the question, one of them emerging, being the clear starter, and being really good and making you think as a senior in 23, wow, watch out. And I think, again, it's like you want to see that the staff has evaluated well, just because the recruiting analysts like the class. And by the way, Clark Lee thinks that they've underrated his class. You want to see some of these guys come in and do something. I mean, Tre'Dell Barry is another guy. Savion Riley is another guy in the back end. They need help in the secondary, you know. There's a lot of guys who could get on the field, and you'd love to see some of them point to a better future. Of course, in college football today, too, you have that, and then you have to like try to recruit them to stay and not get in the portal.
It's a constant re-recruiting process.
Yeah, there's that, too. But, you know, look, there's actually a pretty good number of veterans who have stuck with Clark Lee, you know, through a difficult transition. I was told by a parent this summer that, I mean, the difference in like conditioning and demands and expectations from the end of Mason to the beginning of Clark Lee was like, ooh. And this is not unusual. That's another thing about a program eroding, and then a new program comes in and you see how kind of soft it's gotten. But apparently it was very difficult for the players. So a lot of them have hung in there, which I think is a good sign.
615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Coming up next, we are hoping to join Clark Lee's press conference live from Atlanta at SEC Media Days. We'll have that for you on the other side. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Clark Lee, Vanderbilt head coach, taking the stage at SEC Media Days down in Atlanta. Let's turn things over to Clark Lee down at the SEC Media Days broadcast. We'll get to Clark Lee here in just a second. We'll get to Clark Lee here in just a second. He is just now taking the stage. I didn't think that Greg Sankey was ever going to get out of there.
I like Clark Lee's kind of got the Mr. Rourke suit today. Yeah, do you get that reference?
No, I don't get the Mr. Rourke.
Nick? No.
Oh, there's no way. No.
Fantasy Island. Look it up. Google
it. Where did that come out? 88?
Mr. Rourke. Yeah. I don't know. You know, I know about like 50 shows. My Three Sons. I wasn't alive then, but I've heard of it.
I'm 23.
Hey, I don't care. Google Mr. Rourke.
Okay.
I know Clark Lee gets
23.
The reference. I'm 23, well. Boomer.
Nick, just let me know when we're ready to go with Clark Lee.
I will. Okay. My TV's on a delay over here on this computer, so we're all good.
How significant of a delay?
Man. Tim Tebow's still talking online. Oh,
holy cow.
We could be in trouble.
Did you, like, pause it or something?
No. There's. I think they're turning it over to him in just a second.
Clark Lee is done. He's announced his successor at Vanderbilt in 2026.
All right, guys. We're ready to roll.
All right, let's turn things over to Clark Lee down there in Atlanta.
Clark Lee became Vanderbilt University's 29th head football coach in December of 2020, and he's entering his second year at his alma mater. He begins the season for the Southeastern Conference in what is often referred to as week zero, when Vanderbilt plays at the University of Hawaii. Just a commissioner's note, I'm going to be making that trip to watch Vanderbilt play at Hawaii using my frequent flyer miles to join the Commodores in Hawaii. Clark holds 2 degrees from Vanderbilt. He arrived in Nashville after a coaching career that included stops at UCLA, South Dakota State, Bowling Green, Wake Forest, and most recently at Notre Dame, where he served as defensive coordinator from 2018 to 2020. Vanderbilt University head football coach Clark Lee.
All right, good morning. Thanks, Greg. Make sure that you get the invite to the luau in Hawaii. We won't leave you off that. You know, I want to start just by acknowledging Greg, and I'm always blown away by his leadership, especially in the time of transition we're in right now in our sport. Also to acknowledge the entire SEC staff and all the volunteers that put together such a first-class event. It's an honor to participate in this event. It's an honor to represent Vanderbilt University, a world-renowned institution and a charter member of the SEC. I want to take a minute here just to talk about my partnership with Chancellor Diermeier and Candace Lee. You know, before approaching my goals for our program, I think it's important to recognize the Chancellor's vision for this program to be an integral part of a thriving university community. Before we talk about program growth, I think we need to discuss Candace Lee's vision for the growth of our program to be a catalyst for departmental growth. With all the incredible things that are going on right now in Vanderbilt, the football program is certainly at a central point in that conversation. It's their vision that unlocks my vision. And without their direction, their leadership, their energy behind our efforts, there's no way we could reach as high as we're reaching. But it's because of their support that we're aiming to build the best football program in the country at Vanderbilt University, where we have the best school, in the best city, in the best conference, with the best facilities on the horizon. As our efforts start with their vision, it's important for me to start by acknowledging and thanking them both. It's awesome to be in Atlanta. I had the chance last night to spend the evening with some of our alums who are doing great things here in the area. You know, building out the Vanderbilt football network and connecting the Vanderbilt community has been an aspect of year one that's been totally energizing to me and fulfilling to me as a member of that community myself. It makes me proud to witness the important things that our alums are a part of, the impact they're having across the country. All of that motivates me to prepare the next generation to maintain that legacy. And so with that, I have three men with me today that are perfect representations of our program. Anthony Orji from Dallas, Texas, Mike Wright, who's from right here in Atlanta, and Ben Bresnahan, who was born in Atlanta and who prepped just down the road in Cumming, Georgia. As you get a chance to meet and get to know these guys, understand that they're examples of precisely why our football program is important. Vanderbilt football is home to many young and driven, talented young people being trained every day to collaborate, care for one another, problem solve, fight through adversity, take ownership, compete, and win. You know, we view the members of our team as the future leaders of our community. And that puts into perspective the important work we undertake in assisting them through what is a pivotal time of growth in their lives. Our mission is to guide and support them through the many challenges inherent in, you know, learning and growth and development while on the largest of stages and under the brightest of lights. And so that's important to us in our fight, and we will continue on that mission, accomplishing this by teaching them to remain tethered to values and principles, to always place standards over circumstances, and above all else, to honor our program's covenants, those sacred promises we make to one another. I want to recognize Anthony, Mike, and Ben as impeccable representatives for our players that are back in Nashville. I'm excited for you guys to get to know and make connection with them today. You know, a year ago, I talked to you about the strain of resuscitating a program and aligning a group of people who had come to find themselves under new standards and expectations while not having made the choice to be a part of it. These standards and expectations had come to define their daily life. And by the time I was in front of you last summer, we had partly accomplished our goal of driving compliance within the new program model. Once we reached the season, we were forced to confront our reality, and our physical, mental, technical, and tactical deficiencies were evident from the start. Now, I want to be clear, the season was challenging on many levels, but we were not victimized by that adversity. Last fall was a necessary experience for us. It exposed the true starting point for this early start of our build as a program. The adversity of the fall broke off all the parts of us that were fake and unbelieving. It stripped us down to our studs, and from there we started our build. As the season progressed, we progressed, and the challenges we endured together served to bind us closer rather than break us apart. And towards the end of the season, internally, we could start to feel the fibers of our program strengthening. We could start to feel this shift from a compliant program to a committed program. We could feel a brotherhood forming. And yet, even at the end of the season, we fell way short of our own program performance expectations. So that delivers us to Team 2. And in the off season, we've recruited into the gap that exists between us and our competition, adding more than 30 new scholarship members to our program in a class widely considered to be one of the best in program history. We've developed into the gap with over 50 players choosing to return to our program.
All right, that was Vanderbilt head coach Clark Lee down there in Atlanta at SEC Media Days. By the way, Michelle Knezvik, Caroline Fenton down at SEC Media Days this week in Atlanta. Our SEC Media Days coverage brought to you by Volunteer Hose and Gasket, equipment supplier in Nashville, including gaskets, hoses, and hose fittings, seals, packing, joints, gauges, fire protection, cups, belting, and more. If you need it, they've got it. Once again, that's Volunteer Hose and Gasket. We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025.
Say, when we go to break, you know this one is going to guarantee victory against Tennessee.
I know.
Come on, Clark. Guarantee it.
There's a lot going on there. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day here on Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Clark Lee still going down there in Atlanta? I don't think
we had his retirement roast yet.
I don't think it's stopped to take any questions yet, so good for him. He's still going. Adam Sparks on Twitter says, Clark Lee, like many Vandy coaches, seems like a, quote, I've got a book you need to read, end quote, type of guy. Not sure if that's a compliment or a criticism. It's coming from Adam Sparks.
Oh, you are such a traitor, Sparks. You're such a traitor to Vanderbilt. Remember, Sparks told me that when he covered Middle Tennessee, which is actually his alma mater.
Yeah.
He's a fellow true blue Raider like you.
That's right.
And they were all mad at him when he went to cover Vandy. He was a total traitor to Middle Tennessee. And then when he went from Tennessee to Vanderbilt, the Vanderbilt fans, they were mad at
Sparks.
He's
just betraying people left and right down there.
Yeah. I love, like, this event. I've seen it a couple times. In fact, I want to say Dan Mullen, one year it was the Jeffrey Simmons thing.
Yeah.
I believe that's right. You know, the Jeffrey Simmons video from high school. I think Jeffrey Simmons was coming into Mississippi State, right? I think so. So Dan Mullen's opening statement left like 19 seconds for questions. All right. What do you guys have? Jeffrey Simmons. Sorry, out of time.
Just read the Iliad and Odyssey up there, reciting everything. Yeah. Luckily, he still hadn't gotten to questions yet. So this is a well-prepared opening statement from Clark Lee down there
now
at
wait,
SEC Media Days.
Are you sure? We're seeing that just because they haven't cut away to a question.
No, I'm pretty sure they hadn't got the questions
yet.
Yeah,
I think you're right. I think he's still got it going. Well, somewhere in there, better be a guarantee.
Yeah. Josh Heupel, better look out, buddy.
Coming for you, little fella. Oh, here we go.
He's taking questions.
You know where he's looking? He's looking to his left, which means Bob Holt gets the first question.
That's right.
Yeah, baby.
That's right.
Bob Holt, come on.
Oh, man.
Come on, show Bob Holt. Bob Holt rules.
615-737-1025. William from Madison says, talk about Mason's terrible recruiting this past draft. Not only Vanderbilt did not have a player drafted, they only have two players signed as undrafted free agents as well. It's coming from William and Madison.
Bob Holt didn't ask the question, but there he is. Look at Bob Holt. Look at that shirt. God, I love that guy.
Did you even hear the question I asked you?
Yeah, I heard you. Yes. Well, I answered on the text line too. But yeah, look, Mason's recruiting down the stretch later in his it was not good, and it's hard to recruit well at Vanderbilt. But even I thought the 17 class. In fact, I remember writing a column about this in the Tennessean, and Derek Mason was very upset about this column, and he told me. I think he actually told me it was like I kicked him in the face. I think that's what he said. I'm just saying, but that 2016 team was good. They blew out Tennessee, and they didn't capitalize on it in the 2017 class. And I think that they were like in the 60s, and I basically just wrote this is not like long term. Like you're not going to be able to do this. You got to get into like the late low 30s, low 40s, early high 30s, something like that. Like you have to be in the SEC, and over time those teams got worse. So again, I think disaster for his overall tenure is too strong. Down at the end, though, of course, it was bad. They didn't have the talent that you just did not. And if you're going to recruit like that, you better be unbelievable at evaluating, unbelievable at developing.
I'm still laughing at the It's like you kicked me in the face. What are you talking about, man? Good gracious.
Well, it was one of those things where, it's like signing day and, all the coaches are, we're so excited. Yeah. And basically, I wrote a column like Vanderbilt's recruiting class sucks. I mean, that's not what it said, but you know what I mean. So he was like, that was fun to wake up to and read the Tennessee. And I'm like, I'm sorry, but it just – I mean, I guess in a way you could look at it now and say it was kind of right.
Yeah,
Like
I'd say so.
You gotta be at a higher level than this, just to hang in there. And those teams, obviously, once they lost Shurmur, things changed dramatically. There's no doubt. But yeah, look, you have to do a better job than Derek Mason did at recruiting. So far, Clark Lea is doing that. Can he sustain it? Can they stack it? Can they keep people out of the portal? Can they get in the portal some? Harder at Vanderbilt than a lot of places, but you're going to have to do that too.
I'm just glad to know that Greg Sankey's going down there to Hawaii with him. Really was interested to learn that information earlier.
Yeah.
Hope he has a great time.
With his frequent flyer miles.
Yeah, really hope he has a great time. Gentry Estes on Twitter, who joined us earlier in the show, says, it's kind of like a no-hitter where I didn't want to say anything until now, but I'm still thinking Clark Lea one day will be the first SEC football coach to stretch his introductory statement at the podium till the full 30 minutes. It's coming from Gentry on the text line.
Well, if Vanderbilt ever has like a scandal on with Clark Lea as coach, I think that combined with his already ample speaking tendencies.
He's very good at speaking.
I think he's got a chance. And I can't wait to read through the whole transcript because I know there's going to be some 25-cent words.
Oh, yeah. Going to be some big-time stuff there. You mentioned earlier the conference schedule for Vanderbilt. It's very difficult. They have Alabama this year. They have Georgia this year. Two SEC wins, if they can get two of them. Will asking on the text line, where do they come from? Is it Missouri? Is South Carolina the most likely option? Ole Miss is on the schedule. Where is that coming from in your mind? Florida?
Yeah. I mean, it's at home. That's probably third on the list.
Yeah.
I'd go Missouri and South Carolina are your top two possibilities. Your fellow back half of the SEC East teams, although someone picked South Carolina second.
They did.
But those two, and yeah, probably would go Florida next. Don't like their chances against Tennessee. Don't like their chances against Kentucky. And then I think the rest go without saying.
I don't like their chances against Alabama.
Yeah, it's always nice to get that Alabama matchup.
That's our first one. First SEC game. Have fun, Vanderbilt. Go on the road to Tuscaloosa.
I just really hope we get a Vanderbilt play and saying, Alabama, you're next.
I will always treasure the amount of people that thought that game was going to be close heading into it.
Let me tell you something. First of all, Did I? Yes. Second of all, I promise you, I may have told you this, I may have said this on the air, I don't know, but there were several Alabama beat writers who were absolutely convinced. They're like, they're playing bad. Like, this actually could be interesting. And I think I picked, like, Alabama win by, like, two. Like, it was in Tennessee, and we made picks. And I think I had, like, Alabama by two touchdowns.
I mean, that would count as close.
But, yeah, it would count as close. Then it was after about 6-7 minutes of football, I was like, oh, boy. That was, yeah. That was not pretty.
No, it wasn't.
Honestly, the week before that was probably the height of the Derek Mason era. They had a huge win over K-State.
Yeah.
Great game. Primetime game. Good atmosphere in the state. Like, it was, wow. Like, and now they're actually going to be able to hang in with Alabama.
Alabama, you're next.
Yeah, Alabama broke them.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
I people joke about this. I am not kidding. Alabama could have scored 100 points in that game. They could have put up 100 points in that game.
I know we've talked about that game because that's always my, like, you know, you try to remember and speak about the takes that you had that were not terrible, like my Tua take that day.
Yeah, pretty good.
You actually searched it up on Twitter.
I did.
Yeah. No, they could have. Tua could have done whatever he wanted to that day. So.
But, hey, you're trying to build back up now. The expectation going into this Alabama game for Vanderbilt will not be for that game to be close. So you can only overachieve this year.
Yeah, is that game here or
it's down? It's down yonder,
in Tuscaloosa.
Okay.
Yeah, well, you got to play.
I think that's the same day as Tennessee, Florida. So you'll have Tennessee, Florida, and Vanderbilt, Alabama.
A couple big wins for the in-state teams.
Yeah, that's right. Just go ahead and chalk it up for Tennessee. We know how that's going against Florida.
See, that goes to, we don't have time to really get into it, but that goes to the discussion of, you know, once you get to this Super League format. I mean, look. If it's going to go that way, on one hand, I would like good games every week. But are you never going to, you know, are you just going to try to keep it to the very top? I mean, you still have to have – you're going to have a variety of teams in your league, and you're going to have some worse teams, right?
Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, the whole question of whether they could actually be – dispatched at some point is really interesting.
By the way, very quickly, Clark Lee did say that Mike Wright is the starting quarterback for Vanderbilt heading into the fall. So it's a little bit of news on that front. So
that
Clark
is Lee. The fact that he said that today is very interesting.
Did say that Mike Wright will enter the fall as the starting quarterback for Vanderbilt. That does it for us today here on Robbie and Rexro. We'll be back coming up tomorrow at 6 a.m. The DDC up next. This is 102.5, 106.3, The Game.